Welcome to The Compass, a podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm your host, Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to find us online. Now, as you listen, you may have questions about the Word or about our ministry here in Fayetteville. Let me encourage you to send those questions to info@calvaryfayetteville.com, and a member of our staff will get back with you as quickly as we can. Now, in the coming days, we'll be starting our worship services again on May the 31st at 10:30. We're going to take precautions, of course, to make sure that people are safe. And so if you'd like to be a part of that service and you have questions, be sure to give us a call at 479-442-4634. Now, of course, this is a tentative date. If things change, we will get that information out to you. But we're excited about coming back together as a body, as we worship and as we hear from the Word. Now, on today's podcast, I have the opportunity to share a message from our series on the Gospel according to Mark entitled Learning Through the Storm from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Let's listen together. Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 41 this morning as we continue our study through the Gospel according to Mark. And we're going to be looking specifically at learning through the storm in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You know, as we've spent a lot of time in this period, it's hard to describe exactly what this is we're going through, but it is weird, it is unusual. I know many of us have spent more time on social media. There's all sorts of groups for pastors and youth pastors, and the big joke as it's been going around and several is, and just like that, we became televangelists. And so this morning, I get my opportunity to share with you from the Word and to try that, and so I just want to encourage you to pray for me. This is different, very different, as I preach to six people here in our auditorium and as I preach to you at home. It is unusual. And it is different. It's outside of something that we are used to. And so just encourage you to go along as we look through the Word. Stay engaged. Be reading. Pray with us. Pray for me as we do these things this morning. Let me begin with a question. How do you learn? I know that some people are auditory learners. Some people are visual learners. Others have to be hands-on learners. But how do you learn? I think back to high school and junior high, and I remember when I realized that I was not an auditory learner. I couldn't just hear something and absorb it. I needed to engage at least two parts of my brain for things to stick. I was very visual. It's hard for me to get something by just listening to a teacher and then to absorb it. I needed to see notes on a board or on a page for things to find a way to lodge themselves into my head. Now, some of you may be like that. You may be very visual as you try to learn new things and new concepts. You need to see a diagram. You need to see a chart. You need to see something there for you to embrace and to lodge into your brain and get stuck there. Now, on the other hand, you may be like my daughter, Kat. She can listen to something and ends up lodged in her brain just like that. She can hear a song once, and so the lyrics, and learn them lyrics well enough that she can sing them the next time. In fact, she can learn the lyrics well enough so she goes, by the end of the song, she can be singing along. It's kind of crazy, but it's also a very cool thing. It makes what she does, being a part of singers and being a vocalist, a good thing for her. Now, over the years, I become more of an auditory learner, but nowhere near as adept as Kat. I listen to podcasts of preachers and teachers, and I know and I try to keep learning throughout the week. Even though I'm the one who puts together the podcast, I'll do the editing and put it out there online, I'll end up listening to Pastor Kirk before the week's out as it's on Apple Podcasts or one of those places and listening again so that I can get some more of that information from God's Word. And as we've been going through the Gospel according to Mark, I've been learning a lot. We learn who Jesus is and how powerful that is. But it's all about this idea of learning today. You see, there are those of us who are visual learners. There are those of us who are auditory learners. There are those of us that are the other type that have to be very hands-on. It's usually the application of the skills that we have heard or we've read about. Remember back in seminary in our evangelism explosion class, there was an on-the-job training component. I would sit in a classroom across from a classmate, and we would share the gospel message back and forth with one another and work through that so that people could get a feel for what that is like, that interchange of working with an actual person. I still remember sitting across from my friend, a friend of our family, Darlene Carey. And she's gone on to be with the Lord, but I will always treasure those moments as we share the gospel back and forth, as we learned better how to do that in that process. And she had to deal with me. I'd bumble my words, but during that 15 to 20 minutes, I'd also find encouragement in those eyes. You see, whether it was a learning process, it was a part of that important learning process. I needed that time to gain confidence in sharing the message. And whether it's evangelism or preaching, and oh my goodness, go back to Bible college and having to preach in front of your professor and classmates, boy, that's scary stuff. There were moments, you know, that like that I was tossed into the deep end of the pool so that I could become better and so that I can learn. It's that on-the-job, that hands-on training component that we're kind of looking at today. Now, as many of you know, I train in Taekwondo. I've been doing that since 2006, learning from Master Jerry Lindsay. I love those times of being in class. Now, it's one thing to learn how to punch the air or to punch a bag, but it's completely different when your target starts striking back. However, to get better at sparring, that act of punching and kicking at one another in an effort to gain points or to train for self-defense, you have to just do it. You have to be out there. You don't know how you're going to react until somebody comes at your head or comes at your stomach, tries to get you and to take you out. Ideally, you're going to keep a level head, and you're going to remember all those things that you trained in, that you learned, and all those things that you've been taught. But sparring, that on-the-job training, that hands-on activity, is an incredibly valuable part of the learning process in martial arts. I've learned the hard way that I must keep my hands up. If I let my hands drift downward in that process, I would eventually, inevitably, get my head punched or kicked. I got my bell rung a time or two by my instructor, and that's all I ever want that to be. I don't want to go back and do that again, so I've learned to keep my hands up, to keep my head moving. I learned because I was in that time of trial, that difficult time. See, all it takes is a few times of getting punched, getting kicked, and you know you got to keep your hands up. Taekwondo isn't the only thing that takes a harder approach into your learning. We learn from difficult times. We learn, and when we experience those trials of life, we grow. We grow as we enter the storms. The truth that I want us to see today is a simple one. Jesus uses the storms of life to teach us to depend on Him. That's the passage of Scripture that we find today. We find this idea of a storm, and we see that the disciples learned a very important lesson. Jesus uses the storms of life to teach us to depend on Him. Now, the imagery of a storm is one that we all understand. And over the past few weeks here in Northwest Arkansas, there have been a range of thunderstorms. There have been the big ones, there have been the light ones, it's just been coming through. Some have been light, others have been scary. A couple of days ago, as I came into the office here, thunder cracked, and I thought I was going to go through the glass door. It was loud, it was scary. You know, I also remember times, though, as a child, when we lived in Potosi, Missouri, and having to get into a tub with pillows over our heads and worried about the tornado that was coming by. I remember being at my grandmother's house in Springdale and seeing the skies go green and us go running across the street to a neighbor who had a storm shelter. We understand the idea of storms. We know what they're like. We know that in many ways that they are unpredictable and they're powerful. And here in Arkansas, we get them all. We get every single time. You know, we have faced snowstorms, ice storms, tornadoes, and thunderstorms. The one common denominator is that we don't want to be stuck out in them. We may enjoy the sound of rain on a rooftop, but we don't want to be out on a walk when the rain comes down. But do you even know what that's like? My daughter and I were in Disney World back in 2009, celebrating my wife's graduation from her master's degree. We were taking the family. My son was sick on a Wednesday, and I don't know why I remember it was Wednesday, but it was on a Wednesday. We went to the park, just me and my little girl, Animal Kingdom. Fantastic, going to be a fun day, and we were drenched the entire day. But I still remember those moments, my daughter dancing out there in the rain, in a big old puddle, having a great and glorious time. But we all understand the idea of physical storms. And those are the lighter things. But we also know how Florida was hit with a hurricane. And people's lives were forever changed because of that. The physical storms that come can be quite traumatic. I think about what happened in Joplin not too many years back, and multiple people died. Other places around our country and around the world where that hits, we understand blizzards, tornadoes, hurricanes, and the like can be unpredictable. They can be powerful, and they can be devastating. They can totally reshape a family and a community. However, there are other storms that we must deal with. There are the storms of the financial, the emotional, the relational, and even illness-related storms that come up. They are those times that are unpredictable. They're powerful, and they're devastating. The COVID-19 pandemic has been one of those times. Some of us have simply been inconvenienced by the difficulties of these current situations. However, there are others that have been hit hard by the effects of our world and of the last 2 months. Men and women have lost their jobs. Parents have become teachers and activity directors. Others have had to live in isolation. Families have been separated during difficult times, such as those entering hospitals have had to go alone because of pandemic restrictions. The fear of spreading this disease has made it hard, and in many regards, it has been a storm of life. Now, I want you to think about your own situation. What are the difficulties that you have faced? And what about today? What storms do you face in your life? What struggles are you going through? What difficulties are you in the midst of? What is that storm that is trying to consume your life and you think, I'm not going to make it? This is hard. This is difficult. I'm struggling. The truth is that when the heat is turned up and the pressure becomes greater, our true nature tends to show up. It is the storms of life that start to teach us things. We learn through those storms. And that's the truth that we're looking at today is, as these disciples were in the midst of the storm, God used it to teach them. So when that heat is turned up, when it becomes hard, when it becomes difficult and our true nature shows up, who do you turn to when the winds begin to pick up? When the storm is going strong, where do you turn? God wants us to look to Him and realize that He is using your inconvenience and difficulty and storm for something far greater. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those that are called according to His purpose." And we may not understand the purpose, but God has one. And in the midst of the storm, He wants us to turn to Him and to trust. Now, our passage this morning helps us understand this better. And for the past several weeks, as I mentioned before, Pastor Kirk has been taking us through the Gospel according to Mark. And today we're continuing that study in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. So let's look there together as we learn that Jesus uses the storms of life to teach us to depend on Him. Beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, "On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was, and the other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. And He was with them in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the ways that you bless us, the ways that you help us. And I thank you for this time that we have to come together in your word. I just ask that you be with us specifically. Help us to focus in on those things that we need to change, those ways that we may need to look to you differently. Just forgive us where we fail you. In Christ and we pray, amen. Well, we come to a passage of Scripture where Jesus has been teaching all day and then decides that he and his disciples should go across to the other side. He is at the Sea of Galilee in the Jordan Valley, where it's about 7 miles across. There are three things that I want us to look at this morning that help us understand that Jesus wants to teach in this storm. That he wanted his disciples to learn in the same way that he wants us to learn in the storms that we are facing. It's important for us to embrace these ideas and these concepts. Why? Because God wants us to learn. He wants us to learn through this pandemic. He wants us to learn through whatever your difficulty and situation is that you're going through today. Number one, Jesus took the disciples into the storm. Now, I really hadn't thought about that until I started spending time with this passage in preparation for this message. But Jesus took the disciples into the storm. He didn't say, "Well, you guys go over there," or, "Well, it would just show that they were going over there." It said, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling." What we have here is this simple concept, simple idea. Jesus actually took the disciples into the storm. He didn't send them. He didn't happen to them. He actually took them. So that lets us know that he went with them in that process. So a couple of things under here. God's word tells us that Jesus sent his disciples into difficulty. Jesus knows all. He's omniscient. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows creation. He is the great creator in all of this. But he sent his disciples into difficulty. Jesus could have said, "Let's wait." Knowing that a storm was on the horizon, that things had been set in motion, that was being crafted, he could have said, "Let's wait. Let's not deal with that storm. This is what's going to happen." Instead, he said, "Let's go." Jesus could have stopped the storm before it began. With a simple snap of the fingers or even a simple word, the storm could have dissipated and he could have said, "All right, we're not going to go through this." Jesus could have stayed awake to let the disciples know that everything was going to be okay, but he didn't. He took a nap. And I love how Mark shares this detail that Jesus rested on a pillow in the midst of a storm. He was asleep. But God's word tells us that Jesus sent his disciples into this difficulty. God knew what we were going to face before this pandemic was on anybody's radar. He knew that this is the time that we would be ready for it. He knew that the difficulties that we would encounter, he knew the things ultimately that we were going to learn as a part of this process. So it's important for us to understand that God's word tells us that Jesus sent his disciples into difficulty. He didn't have them avoid it. He didn't turn around. He didn't have them navigate it. He didn't stop it from happening. He sent them into this difficulty. He knew that they were going to be facing a storm, and yet he did it anyway. God knows where you're at. He knows the difficulty that you're facing. He knows the hardship that you're struggling through, the inconvenience, the pain, wherever you're at. He knew that where you're at. And he sent you into that difficulty so that you could learn, so that you could grow. And while we don't like to think of God as causing us any sort of pain, he's brought you to where you're at for a purpose. And so we want to understand that he's there with us. Secondly, under this, God's word tells us that we will face difficulty. I am always amazed at those that say, well, you accept Christ, all your troubles will fade away. There's no indication from Scripture that that's the case. I think about the disciples. I think about what happened after Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave. These men were ultimately killed for their faith. I think about others, and we turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We find another passage of Scripture that tells us what to do in these difficult times. It is important for us to understand. God's word tells us that we will face storms. We will face difficulty. In verse 2 of James chapter 1, the Bible says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Back in verse 2. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Doesn't say if. It says when. When we accept Christ, God takes care of the greatest need in our life. He changes us completely. We are saved. We know that at the end of this life, we're going to have a home in heaven. We are changed. But that doesn't mean that everything around us is changed. We will face difficulty. We will face hardship. And when we do, how do we deal with that? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Because it's working to teach us, to change us, to make us into the people of God that He wants us to be. God's word tells us that we will face difficulty. God's word also tells us that He will be with us, that God will be with us when we face that difficulty. We see that Jesus was, of course, there with His disciples. He invited His disciples and told them, "Let's go across the water." He was there with them the entire time. And if we look over in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 26, we find the encouragement for us. And while Jesus isn't in the boat with us the same way that He was in the boat with the disciples, we see that He has sent us someone else. In verse 16 of chapter 14 of John, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." And in verse 26 of that same chapter, it says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." We have the Holy Spirit with us. And as we face difficulties, as we are in the storms of life, we need to understand the Holy Spirit is there right with us. There are times, I would say, as Baptists, that we're almost afraid of the Holy Spirit. The times that we have looked and said, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Book instead of the Holy Ghost. It is important for us to remember that the Holy Spirit is there with us. He is the encourager. He is the helper. He has been sent to bring us help and hope when times are hard. He is with us when we face difficulty. As we look back at our passage for today, Jesus took the disciples into the storm. He knew it was going to be difficult. He knew it was going to be hard. He knew that they would face difficulty after a storm. But He was going to be with them during that storm. And God assures us that He is with us when we are in the midst of a storm. Secondly, this morning, let's look at verse 39. There, the Bible tells us that Jesus triumphed over the storm. "And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Peace, be still. Feels like the same way that I talk to my dog when I come into the house. Claire, our double doodle, goes nuts and likes to bark at anybody coming into the house. It's not mad. She's not angry. She's just saying hello very loudly. And it can be a little scary to those that don't know, but she's just talking away. And I say, "Hush, Claire, hush," or "Quiet." Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And unlike my dog, who doesn't quite get quiet when I first say it, the winds and the waves ceased at that moment. And Jesus triumphed over the storm. And with simple words, He quieted the storm. Now, it is with simple words that He quiets the storms in our lives. He may not take us out of it, but He does provide peace for us. Recently, my son was in the hospital at Baptist in Little Rock. The first of three surgeries he's had in the last couple of months. It was difficult. It was hard. We were worried about our son. He's 21 years old. And I thought to myself, God, what's going on here? And I was in the lobby, and I looked up on the wall, and they had scripture. It simply said, "Be still and know that I am God." Those simple words brought a great deal of peace to me, a great deal of hope and encouragement when I didn't think I was going to make it through that. Now, my life wasn't in any sort of danger, but my heart was breaking for my son. And as we look at this passage and we look in Mark chapter 4, we see that Jesus just, with simple words, triumphed over the storm, and He triumphs over the storms in our lives. He brings us His Word, and we have full access to it. And then God gives us the people in our lives that share that Word when we need to hear it. That hospital, years ago, when they built it and decorated that lobby, I just know that those words were put up there in part for me. And it triumphed over the storm that was going on in my soul at that moment. And that's what His Word does. He triumphed over the storm. If we look over a little bit further down, and we'll get to this in just a moment, but as you get to the end of this passage, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? We know that Jesus, in this moment, at this time, it showed that He was strong, that He was mighty. He had power not only over the spiritual, but over the physical world. He showed that He was master of His creation. He triumphed over the storm. And the storm that's going on in your life right now may be difficult, it may be hard, you may be thinking, I am not going to make it, but His Word gives us hope, where He says, peace, be still. He's there for you. He loves you. He cares about you. You can rejoice in that. Jesus showed His power as He triumphed over the storm. The third thing that I want us to look at is this, that Jesus taught through the storm. If we look at verses 40 through 41, there the Bible is said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" What did He teach in these moments? Well, first of all, He said, do not be afraid. Don't fear. As believers, and these were men. These were, in my mind, very manly men. They were fishermen. They were been in boats. They had understood the sea. They were out there all the time. They weren't afraid of the water. You put me on a kayak, even in Beaver Lake, and I start to get nervous because I can't keep everything steady, and I'm like, I don't like this. I become fearful in those moments. And these were not, they weren't like me. These were men that were used to being on the water. But they were afraid. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. As you enter the storm of your life, as you enter that difficult time, don't be afraid. Because God is in control. We may not know the end result. We may not know where we're going to land. We may not know what is coming up next. But His Word says, do not be afraid. We began the service with a passage from Joshua chapter 1 that said, be courageous. Do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you. We rejoice in that. So don't be afraid. Have no fear. Don't worry. Matthew 6, 25 through the end of that chapter talks about this concept of us worrying all the time about things that we can't control. There are so many things that we don't have control of right now. Even as I look at the camera this morning. In my mind, I don't have full control over the Wi-Fi. Is the Wi-Fi going to last through the end of the service? For those of you watching last week, you know it didn't. I didn't have any control. I was so fearful. But this morning I realized I don't have any control over that. God does. So I can't be afraid. The second thing he taught was this, to have faith in God. Where do you place your faith? Where are you trusting? Who are you trusting? I had the opportunity last night to watch Overcomer. It's one of the Kendrick Brothers movies. Fantastic. It was great. And this man just kept asking, one of the main characters said, well, when you strip everything away, who are you? Who are you? My question for you is not so much who are you, but who do you place your faith in? Who are you trusting? Is it you? Is it your own powers, your own knowledge, your own wisdom, your own ability? These sailors, these fishermen, had done just that. They were trusting themselves in this process, and they were afraid. But when we place our faith in God, who is the mighty, the great and wonderful God that he is, we can have faith in him. We can trust him. What's the other thing that he taught? Very simple. He said, I have power over the physical world. He had shown power over the spiritual, and now he's showing himself in a bigger way. Now, God is over all. He is powerful. He is mighty. And Jesus used this storm that these disciples were going through to teach them to have faith in God, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when it looks like the world is falling apart around us. We are to put our faith in God, to trust him, because he is holy and he is righteous. He is all of those good things, and we want to trust him. When we face the storms, we need to look for the lesson that God is trying to teach us. These men were learning a lesson about trusting God because he is strong and powerful and mighty. When we are in the midst of our storm, what is God trying to teach you? I know that I've asked my life group and I've tried to ask our students at different times and others that I come across is, what has God taught you during this pandemic? Some of the things that God has taught me is that family is important, that I need to slow down, that I need to trust him. You may have a list yourself at home of things and ways that God has taught you during this time. But look for them and think about them and meditate on those, because if he has brought it to mind, if he has shown you something, then he wants it to be a part of your life, and you need to make those changes. He wants us to learn about him and to bring glory to his name no matter what the storm is. And we need to take that from him. Remember the heart of God. And you're in the midst of a storm, as you're in the midst of heartache and difficulty and pain and struggle, remember the heart of God. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Now, we also know that God is holy and righteous and that he must punish sin, but God's character, God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us. He cares about his creation. And while we may not understand the difficulty that we face, he has a plan and he has a purpose for that. Charles Spurgeon said, we cannot always trace God's hand, but we can always trust God's heart. We may not be able to see the end result. As I've experienced different things, as my son now is experiencing things, we can't understand why he's had to go through this, why his life has been made more difficult. He is seeking to serve God fully with his life. He is wanting to be a worship pastor and to serve God through his churches. And why would God allow him to suffer the way that he's suffering now? But even as Riley has gone through these difficulties, he is growing and he's seeing how God is using this already to teach him and be able to minister to others. You know, over these last few months, we've gone through a lot in that process. At 17, Riley was diagnosed with Crohn's. 21, he's had 3 surgeries over the last 2 months, and that's a lot. And it's hard to understand why things are happening. But we trust God's heart. And even when it gets dark, we trust Him. When the storms of life knock out the power and it grows dark, reach for the Master's hand. Charles Spurgeon also says, to trust God in the light is nothing, but trust Him in the dark, that is faith. In the midst of the storm, the disciples learned very important. They learned that they should lean on God, that they should lean on Him. And that's what we can learn from them today. This week, a friend of mine, Drew Klein, he's a pastor at South City Church in Little Rock, released a song. You may have seen the video. If you haven't, let me encourage you to go to our Facebook page after the service and watch it. It is Drew and those from St. Mark Baptist Church in Little Rock and another gentleman sharing this original song of his. He used to sing with a new song, great guy. I know his heart. You'll want to look at that. But the lyrics are this. It started getting cloudy on the Sea of Galilee. The fog was rolling in. No land could be seen. And the boat full of sailors began to be afraid. But Jesus was asleep because He's the maker of the waves. They went to wake the Master. He said, "You of little faith." They said, "Why are you not worried? And how will we be saved?" And Jesus raised His hands and looked up to the sky, and He said, "Peace, be still." And the storm began to die. In the middle of the storm, we know that You are with us. In the middle of the storm, we don't have to be afraid. In the middle of the storm, we know You will deliver us. Give us faith to know You're the maker of the waves. And in this storm that's raging, don't give way to fear. The Master, He is with you. He promised to be near. So lift up your hands and do not be afraid. Our God will never leave you. He's the maker of the waves. Tell me, why would we be afraid when the wind and waves obey? Tell me, why would we be afraid? He's the maker of the waves. God loves us. God cares about us. But God is going to take us into storms along the way. And in those moments, He is going to teach us. And we're going to learn different things. But ultimately, I hope that you'll learn that He is worthy of your trust and your faith. And as you face that difficulty, you'll turn to Him fully. Maybe you're watching today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never seen that you were a sinner and needed Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you to take those steps. I want to encourage you that if you find yourself in that place, that you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, that you'll contact me or Pastor Kirk or any of our church family. We want to share with you how you can take those steps. You see, in these moments, when our world is in the midst of a pandemic, when things are difficult, when things are hard, Jesus is in control. He can simply say, "Peace, be still," and the waves cease. But He uses those moments, He uses this time to teach us and to show us what we need. So let's trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for how You love us. We thank You for Your goodness and kindness. We thank You for You being that perfect parent that just lets us experience that difficulty so that we can learn and grow from it. And Father, as we're in the midst of this storm, help us to learn to love others better, to love You more, and to express our love to those around us. Father, I thank You so much for this time. We just want to give You the praise. We celebrate You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you in your life. We hope that by listening today, you're one step closer to discovering that for yourself. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to reach out to us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We currently meet online at our Facebook group, Life at #CalFay, for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.